This is the local music revolution. Hello and welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. On today's episode, we have a really, really awesome studio band called The Magical, and we are talking to Cammy, who is the singer, about all things that are magical. Really, really interesting conversation about the band because, well, I haven't actually had a studio band on this show ever. Also, I haven't had a band that will actually go through and collaborate the way that The Magical does, which you will hear in the interview. So it's a great little learning piece to know about how the music scene works and is utilizing this technology that we have. I feel like it's the best time to be a musician right now. That's because record labels, sadly, they're not a thing that most artists want to be a part of. Granted, there are some really, really backed musicians. They have, you know, millions of dollars to back them because they're on the label. But if you want to do it yourself and you want to go on this adventure the way you see it, the best way to do that is to be independent. And with all of the advent of the technology and everything like that, it just makes it to be such a great time to be a musician. In Cammy's case, with The Magical, being able to collaborate with people that aren't in the same room or in the same state or country, I mean, that just makes it super incredible and super intriguing to see what I can do with that. I mean, that's amazing. So the interview's really, really awesome. I'm really, really digging the fact that you guys get to hear it. I really do like hearing feedback from you, the listener, or the artist. Like, I really like talking to the artist as well. Here lately, I've been getting a pretty decent amount of feedback, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever it is. I've gotten a lot of really interesting pieces of mail in the last couple weeks, so I don't know what's going on, but hey, continue doing that, because that's really awesome. The way you can get a hold of me is very simple. You go to facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, on Twitter at TLMRpodcast, on Instagram at thelocalmusicrevolution, on Tumblr at tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, and, of course, the almighty WordPress, thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com. That will be where you can find all of the information for the podcast at current time. Any breaking news for the podcast will be there, because that's the way we do. If you're looking for the Local Music Revolution, hey, there are places that you can do that. Actually, really awesome update coming in the next week or so. If you guys haven't been paying attention, it will be news to you. So you can find us on iTunes. All you have to do is search the iTunes podcast and the Local Music Revolution pops up. You can also go and search YouTube, which I'm really far behind. I know. I get it. It just takes a long, long time to get these done. And there is Stitcher, which I dig Stitcher because that's what I use to listen to my podcast. All you have to do is go to Stitcher, download the app for your phone, and then look up the Local Music Revolution. Press a like, follow that stuff, and you'll get updates every single time an episode is updated. And before we get into this episode, we have to thank the sponsors. Stringjoy.com, you know them, I know them, everybody loves them. they are a string company, a guitar string company, and they specialize in customized sets of strings for the player, which is awesome. So all you have to do is go to stringjoy.com, contact them, let them know what you're thinking, what you hear in your head, or what sizes you have an idea of. Just give them something to start with, and then they will be able to help you out, find the best set of strings to get that sound from your brain to your speaker. It is an amazing, amazing experience. So go to stringjoy.com, pick up that stuff, all the strings. They do have customizable cables as well, and guitar picks, of course, because you need something to strum that guitar. When you're at checkout, go and enter the promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you will get a discount for being an amazing listener of the Local Music Revolution. And now we've talked about the sponsors, about how you can contact us, and now what we need to do is we need to talk about the magical. We need to talk to Cammy about the magical. So here it is, without any further ado, this is Cammy talking about why the magical is great. All right, I'm here with Cammy from The Magical. How are you doing today, Cammy?
I'm doing great. It's been a lovely, rainy, lazy day today here in Utah. So.
Oh, good for you. It's been a sunny, cool day here in California, so it's nice. I've only got to see about 45 minutes of it.
Work, work, work.
Yes, ma'am. All right, so you're in the band Magical from Utah.
So, yes, I am.
Tell me, how many of you are there? Who are we missing?
So, there, up until quite recently, there were three members of the band, but one of those members has decided to go and pursue some other things. So, at this point, we're just a duo. It's just the two of us.
Awesome.
And Dorian is the synth programmer, the maestro genius behind the keyboard. And I do all the words and the singing and the melody and that, so.
Nice, nice. So how'd you guys get together? How'd you find each other and get to the band to this point, actually?
You know, we actually met in middle school.
Nice.
Many, many, many years ago. And I had a CD on my desk that someone had told me I should listen to. And he saw it sitting there and that was what started our conversation, was talking about music. So, and it clicked, and we've been friends ever since for a long, long time now. So, and we actually made music together in high school. We were in a band and actually made an album, you know, back then. So, this is kind of like a big full circle thing for us to get together again. Because in the meantime, I've been in all kinds of other bands, and I sang in a blues rock band, and you know, did a bunch of other things. So this electronic stuff is really me coming back to my roots again, you know, so.
Wow. So do you remember the CD that was on your desk?
Yeah, it was actually one of them. There were two. One of them was Yaz. Yazoo, of course. And the other one was The Art of Noise.
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. So you were telling me before we started this that at current time, your single or your EP has been out for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So what's the title of the EP?
The EP is called Surrender.
Surrender.
Named after one of the songs on the album, actually.
Okay. Okay. And how long, it's been out for 2 weeks. So how's the reception going so far?
You know, we were blown away. In the first 5 days, we had 1,000 plays on SoundCloud.
Oh my goodness. So
which
awesome.
I mean, that's, you know, so far beyond any kind of response we've gotten before. But we've also been doing a lot of pre-legwork with singles before this. So I think a lot of that, you know, just making fans and releasing singles, you know, one at a time, built a little bit of a buzz already. So when we finally did finish that EP, people were ready and listening a little bit already. So it worked out well.
Nice. So take me a little bit back to when you guys started writing the EP. How long did it take for you to get everything together?
Oh, man. See, the fact that he and I have known each other for so long makes that question kind of difficult to answer, because some of these songs were written a long, long time ago and that were in pieces, and they've just come together now and, you know, are finally being finished and produced and done. So, I mean, some of these songs, you know, go at least 10 years back, or, you know, that wow. we're finally just getting them down and finished. And so, but as far as actually just like the recording process doesn't usually take too long. It's just a kind of about getting, you know, all the sounds right and, you know, getting it to sound the way we already hear it that way in our heads. We've got to make it sound that way to other people in the mix, and that's always the hardest part with what we do with the electronic music and stuff. So, but it probably took us at least 6 months to a year, but we work slow because we have day jobs.
Yeah.
So, sometimes it takes us a lot longer to get things done than we want them to, but we did it. We finally got it done.
So when you guys sit down to plan this, like, what were the first steps that you guys actually did? Was it map out the pieces of the songs, or was it trying to figure out, like, how you were going to pre-produce this music that you were writing?
You know, it honestly, we just take it one song at a time, kind of, and really focus on that song and try to make that song what we, like I said, what we hear in our heads, try to make that, you know, available for other people to hear, you know, and really focus on each song at a time. And then once you get a few songs, then you can start going, okay, we're getting close to this, and we have these songs that are almost finished that are coming, so this would make a great EP, these particular ones. Or sometimes it's just about which one we're in the mood to work on at the time, because we have a lot of things that are, you know, in different stages of being finished that are kind of written already, that the programming just needs to get done, you know, and the sequencing and things like that. So that's kind of, you know, how that went. You start with the song, and then once you get a few songs, then you can start planning a little bit further ahead of what you're going to do. And then we like to do remixes and have other artists and collaborate with other artists for that, because dance music is such a huge thing nowadays. But we aren't as great with beats. That's not kind of what we focus on. We write pop songs. So we like to collaborate a lot and get a lot of other DJs to work on our stuff and do some great dance remixes and stuff for us.
Nice.
So that all takes, you know, that's all quite a process, working with people all over the world, really, sending files back and forth and things. It's fun, though.
So speaking of that, I've never done that to that extent. So can you tell me how you guys go about finding the people, and how do you get the songs to those people?
Well, technology nowadays makes that all absolutely ridiculously easy. You can literally just email all the files clear across the world to Australia, which we've had people clear in Australia remix our stuff before.
Nice.
So it's and in the UK and stuff, it's they might as well be right next door. It doesn't even matter anymore, you know. And it's cool. There's a lot of really great groups and electronic little community online that we've managed to become a part of and have been really embraced with open arms. It's such a great little small, you know, kind of tight-knit group of people that are making this kind of electronic indie stuff that isn't dance music, that isn't, you know, we're kind of in a different genre than a lot of the other stuff that's being done today mainstream wise. So it's a tight-knit little community, and they've really helped us a lot. There's actually a group called Wheat New. We are the new underground is what that stands for, and they have done a lot of work too in helping to promote us and stuff. So
nice. So when you're prepping a track to send to these people, do you mix it down to stems, do you mix it down to just a consolidated MP3, or how does that work for you guys?
Well, actually, usually when we're sending a remix, we quite literally send them everything.
Oh,
all
wow.
the files we have. And depending on the person, they just straight up decide what they're going to keep. They just strip it, decide what they're going to keep, what they're going to not keep. And it's amazing what people will do. You know, they take our little piece that we made and strip it down and rebuild it into something completely unique and completely different. It's amazing to me. In fact, the ticket, we ended up with 9 different remixes of that song because we put it out there. We just said, does anybody want to do this? And we got so many responses through Twitter, just on Twitter and Facebook. I just kind of put the word out. And there were a few people that we already kind of asked because we knew they were good and we liked their style too. There's, you know, different ways that came about, but we were like, okay, maybe we'll choose like the top five or something, you know, but we couldn't choose. They were all so good. We just put them all on a big, huge maxi single. So the ticket actually can be, is available on a single that has actually nine different remixes on there. So
that's incredible. That is
so
awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty neat that, you know, people are so willing to just put in that time. It just is such a compliment because most of, you know, again, they're not getting paid at most of them, and they just want to collaborate. So it's been a really fun experience with that. That's been one of the best things about it, is making those connections literally all over the world.
Nice. So speaking of that, the song The Only Sin, have you done any remixes for that? Can you tell me some stories about that song?
Okay, so The Only Sin actually came from an orchestral arrangement that the no longer member of our band made, actually, he was going to engineering school, and one of his assignments was to make this orchestral piece. And I heard it, and I almost instantly heard lyrics and the melody to it. I mean, it was like lightning, that one.
Oh, wow.
So it's crazy because, and so Flightless is on the very end of the EP is actually that original orchestral version of The Original Sin, or of The Only Sin. So.
Wow. That is intense.
And then Dorian took that apart and created the synth electronic version that is now The Only Sin. So that was a big, you know, kind of revelation, that song. And it really is the song that started the band and got us, you know, focused again and, you know, working on this stuff together again, the, you know, starting that full circle. Let's finish something this time. Let's really, you know, do this. So
nice. Well, right now I'm going to play The Only Sin.
Everlasting communication.
that was the only sin. So, Cammy, you're in the magical. What does that mean to you? Where did that name come from? Can you even explain the spelling as well? Because it's not spelled as usual.
Absolutely. There is actually reasons for a lot of the things. Well, the first thing is when we sat down to think of a name, we decided we wanted something really simple but really epic. And we were thinking along the lines of Muse. What an incredibly fantastic, perfect band name is that, right? Muse. Right? But they got it and they own it. They deserve it. You know, it's good. Yeah. But so we were thinking along those lines, and we wanted to keep it simple but something epic too at the same time. And we tried a few other things. You Google it and it's just like, oh man, you know, everything's taken nowadays. It's so hard to name a band. Yeah. And I thought, you know, what? I wonder if the magical's taken. And because I actually am someone who is a very spiritual person, but not religious in any way. And I've done a lot of healing work, and I'm a massage therapist, and I do energy, and I do believe in magic to an extent. You know, I do believe that there is, you know, something to our thoughts having power and things like that. So that was part of it. I did want to get some of that into, you know, what we're doing. And so I just Googled it, the magical, and I did it with the CK because this is actually kind of a great thing. I was talking to a client about it and they said, if you just spelled it with the C and did the traditional spelling, it would just be like Disney magic. The K gives it the real deal earth magic thing in a way that it wouldn't have without it. But it's cool to have the C there too, because we also want to have that fun, lighter part of it too. And that newer school part of the magic as well. So it really was kind of all, that's all kind of in there. And the fact that I Googled it and no one had taken that name, I mean, I sat there staring at the screen for 10 minutes just like, going, how can this be right? So we just, you know, looked at that as a sign, you know, a digital, you know, web sign that was the name. So
have you snapped it up? Is it yours now?
Oh yeah, we got the .com even.
Oh,
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
Congratulations.
It was amazing. So
That is incredible. It's very rare you're able to actually pull that off. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're still shocked about it some days. So
so the name, the magical, has it actually leaked into any of the songs that you've written?
Oh, you know, I haven't yet, but I'll have to keep that in mind. That would be a good idea. That's actually a great idea. I'll have to work it in somewhere. Good idea. We'll do that.
You're very welcome. You can have that one for free.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so back to your writing and everything. For you, you said you do the words. You do the meaning behind the words. So what causes those feelings to actually write those songs? Is it everyday life? Is it the belief in the magical experience? Or is there something else that just drives you to write those words down?
You know, mostly what happens is I'll just get hit with a concept or even just a really good line. You know, and yeah, that is usually triggered by something emotional or something that's happening around me, or, you know, sometimes to myself, sometimes to somebody else, you know, things like that. But a lot of times it is, of course, you know, from your own experience, because that's what hits you the hardest emotionally, for sure. But once you have a good line or that concept, you just kind of build it from there a little bit.
And so when you're building, do you have a fleshed out, like, idea of what this song is going to be? Or do these songs kind of form themselves into what they become?
You know, it's a little of both, I think. I think it's good to have a concept that you're kind of going for to, so it has an overall coherence when it's done. But I also think it's good to kind of let things come and let things change if they need to in the process. Like, sometimes you need to let go of that original idea and something better will come out of it, or something different will, you know, that you end up working better than your original concept, you know, that you had in your head at first did. So it's a little bit of both, I think.
Okay, so next question. How often do you edit the lyrics, and is it a problem for you?
I'm definitely not someone who, I full on respect anybody who gets up and freestyles lyrics, because I don't do that. I have to sit down and really listen to the music, or, you know, or whatever, and really think about what I want to say and write it out. And I do a lot of editing, a lot of, you know, blacking things out and starting over and thinking I have it, and then doing it and be like, oh, that's cheesy. That's too trite, or that's too, you know, this, or I can say that better with less words. I think that's always the goal in a pop song. How well, you know, you want to say it with the most power you can with as few words as possible in a pop song. it really is kind of the struggle with it. So, you know, and obviously I'm someone who has lots of words to say, so I have to edit myself a lot, I guess.
Oh, that's awesome. So, I'm sorry. All right, so I've written lyrics and everything like that, and I write albums in my studio as well. One of the things I learned was I can write down the original idea, and then I can go back to it, and once I have the songs structured the way I want them to, sometimes the lyrics doesn't match up.
Do you that's actually, sometimes part of it. Yeah.
Do you edit on the fly while you're recording? Do you do like multiple takes?
No. I want to know what I'm doing before we go to record, because I don't. It's just too much time and too much expense to waste time not being prepared that way. In the way we're doing it. So yeah. We like to be very prepared before we go in. Although with backup vocals, I have been known to just go in and just make them up on the spot, though.
See,
but lyrics, not so much. Lyrics and the main melody line is usually pretty set before we go to record.
Nice. So the backup is also done by you as well?
But actually, the boys have sung some of the lower back. There's definitely some nice low male backup vocals in there sometimes too, which is the boys. But any female part that you hear in there is me.
Wow.
And we do a lot of layering and a lot of that to make it, you know, sound like it's more than one person. Sometimes love things and stuff, but.
All right. So can you tell me anything else about the song Surrender?
Yeah. So Surrender, that one's kind of, this is actually another way that we've written songs before. That one, I just wrote a cappella.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. And that was like definitely like 7 or 8 years ago or something. And I'll do that sometimes because I don't really play an instrument myself. I can, you know, maybe sit down at a piano and plunk out the chords and figure it out. But I'm definitely not a piano player. I don't play guitar. So for me, sometimes if I've got a song rattle around in my head, I'll just write them a cappella. So Surrender was one that I had written a cappella. And then I went and recorded it to a click track. And then Dorian made the music underneath it, which is kind of amazing to me. I'm always amazed at what he'll come back with. I'm like, holy crap. Wow. You know, it's always so much cooler than I could have ever imagined. So
that is a great way of writing a song. Like, I've actually never heard of somebody doing that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we do that sometimes. In fact, Leighton Levin was done that way too. And The Ticket. All three of those songs are written originally. Oh, well, actually, The Ticket did have guitar. Never mind.
So when you're writing this, when you're writing these a cappella, are you actually like humming and kind of giving a beat to the song as well? Or is it just that main melody line that you're working on?
I'm so a melody girl. Yeah, I just hear a melody in my head from time to time. They'll just pop in there sometimes.
That is.
I've actually been known to record it into my phone or something. If, you know, crap, I'm going to forget that if I don't. I want to remember that one. But it doesn't happen very often. But when it does happen, it's usually very pertinent to what we're doing, or, you know, things like that. So,
Cammy, we're talking about your band, The Magical. And during the break, you mentioned that you guys had never had an actual show. You're a studio band. So can you go into a little bit about that? You said you had experience in bands before. So what are the differences between a live band and a studio band?
Well, I, you know, obvious thing that's different is that we don't even need to necessarily be in the same room to make a song, or even in the same country. You know, again, it's something we could even just, we can just pass files. But we do actually live there. We live in the same house. We're roommates, actually. So,
nice.
But so that in some ways makes things so much easier, because with a live band, you have to get together and practice and be, you know, and when getting five people together is sometimes like herding cats. Five musicians together, and you know, getting them to commit and getting them, you know, to all focus on the same thing and stuff is something that can be pretty frustrating and really hard to do. And you know, anyone who hasn't been in a band doesn't know how big a stroke of lightning it is, a strike, you know, for these bands that have stayed together for 50 years, you know, like
yeah,
it's let alone, you know, 5 months. It really is like so much more involved in that sense. But the thing about electronic music is that you can't just go out and play the song once it's written, because it has to actually be sculpted in the computer and the synthesizers first. You have to make the piece before you can go perform it live. So that makes it a lot different. So you have a lot more extra prep work, you know, to be done before you can actually go play a live show with an electronic band because of that.
Wow.
And that's what we're working on right now, is actually getting enough material finished so that we can do that. And we're getting closer. So.
Awesome. That's so are you guys actually trying to rehearse and seeing how these songs will fit in a live setting? Or is that something after you get enough material to work on?
Well, I think that's something that you always kind of keep in mind in the back of your head when you're making a song anyway, for sure. You know, you always think, you know, if we play this live, we could do this or, you know, that or blah, blah, blah. So for sure, that's always something that's kind of in the back of our heads. But really, right now, we're very much, we want to focus on getting new material done, so that then we can be ready, you know, to actually play the live show and not, you know, focus on one thing at a time.
So you mentioned that you're roommates and that you guys did this yourself. So do you guys have like a home studio set up, or did you guys actually write this in a studio?
Well, actually, so as far as the actual music goes, the synthesizers and the electronic stuff, Dorian just does all that stuff. He does have a big setup with, you know, keyboards and computers and all this stuff that I seriously don't have a clue about. He has all that and does all that, but usually the vocals we need to go somewhere else to record, just because we don't have the space or the equipment for that. And Dorian doesn't have a lot of experience recording vocals either, and so we like to kind of go to someone who's got a little more experience and trust. Luckily, there's quite a few studios in Salt Lake that are pretty reasonable, so.
Really?
And vocals, since it is just vocals, we don't have to record any instruments or anything. It's just the vocals. It's usually pretty inexpensive and fast. You just go in, just do that, and get out. So,
so when you're recording, what's in your ears?
Oh, we'll just make an MP3 or something of the music.
So it'll be the entire track?
Yeah.
Possibly a click?
Usually I'll just do it with the entire track.
Wow. Good for you. And no click track to guide or anything like that?
No, because I usually, you know, if the music's there, there's already a beat and everything going on. So it's all, you know, it's all done.
Wow, you are my hero.
That's why doing the electronic way is so much less expensive to go record it, because you don't have to record any of that. All the music's done, you know. So I just go in and just lay my vocal on top of it. Pretty much.
That is awesome. Do you guys bring it back home and mix it yourselves, or is it done in the studio that you recorded?
So far, yes, we have done all the mixing ourselves, and oh man, that's always quite a problem. we're lucky we haven't killed each other in some of those sessions, man.
Yeah, I loathe mixing and mastering. It's just so tedious and mind-numbing. Seriously.
We definitely outsource mastering because, you know, we don't have the tools or things like that, but we did the mix all by ourselves.
No, I don't like that. I've done it about 4 or 5 times. I'm like, nope, I don't like it. It just sucks.
Yeah, we don't love it, but we're also control freaks, and it kind of terrifies us to think of letting someone else do it too. It's funny. Because when we're in the middle of it, we want to kill each other and we hate it and blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, if you step back and think about someone else handling your baby, sometimes it's like, no.
Yeah, no kidding. That's why home studios. That's why home studios are just so amazing, is because you have that option now. You're not kind of shackled to only a recording studio. You can come home and kick your feet up and actually enjoy the process the best you can. And that's why I love it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the member who left the band was one of the biggest reasons that we could do all that engineering and mixing ourselves. He had the experience and stuff, so we're going to have to kind of, you know, learn a few new things ourselves and figure out and get some help from friends. In fact, there's another band called Rare Facture in Salt Lake that's doing really well, and we've become really good friends and stuff, and they're going to probably, you know, help us out with some things and stuff. So it's kind of great that we actually have other electronic bands even in town to work with, and they've actually helped with remixes and stuff. So
that is just the camaraderie you're talking about is incredible. I said it before, I'll say it again, it's really not seen as much as I would like, so it's really encouraging to hear that you guys have such a great chemistry with so many people.
Yeah, it's been honestly probably the most fun thing about the whole band thing is just really how many people I've gotten to meet. And you know, and it's cool too, because you'll meet fans that'll just gush and, you know, things like that from time to time. And I had one girl from Italy actually email me and say that the songs were really helping her through like a period of her life. And I was just like, okay, that's all the compliment I need. Like, what better thing can an artist hear? So, and she was from Italy and was worried that she was missing some of the lyrics. So she wanted lyrics. So that was really, really cool.
Oh, that is awesome. Congratulations on that. That's, you know, that's very, very awesome to hear. Sorry.
Yeah, in fact, well, I have an 8-year-old neighbor who we gave her dad a copy of the EP, and she has decided that we are her new favorite band in the world. I am now her idol. She wrote me a little fan letter that says she wants to be me and that Apple Eater is her favorite song in the world and all this stuff. And she's 8 years old. It is seriously the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's so freaking cool. And Apple Eater is a song about feminine power and about women being empowered and taking their power on and acting like they deserve it and all of that. So for an 8-year-old little girl to just love that song, it was really cool. So...
That is high five worthy. So
much. Especially since her previous idol was Taylor Swift, so haha.
Good for you. Yeah. Score one.
I can die happy now, right?
Yeah, you can. That's awesome. All right. So what are your future plans for The Magical? What are you guys doing next? I know you just released the EP, but what's on the horizon for you guys?
Well, like I said, right now, we're just going to plug out. We're going to seriously start to buckle down and get some more songs finished and ready to be released. It's the most important thing for us right now. And then, you know, as soon as we have enough, we do want to put out a full album and also start doing some shows.
So how many songs do you have in the works right now?
There's actually 5 more. That are actually pretty much written in theory. You know, the structure and the lyrics and a lot of that is there, or the idea of it's there. Different pieces of it are done. So we just need to sit down with each one of them and, you know, finish them. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's neat because a lot of them are older songs that we just never finished before. And some of them I even started for another project or... you know, something else or, you know, that was going on that just never got used that should have. So that's another really cool thing about what we're doing right now is we're really tying up some loose ends and, you know, finishing some pieces of things that we should have done years ago. So
what is your favorite song? Do you have a favorite? And or which one means the most to you currently?
My favorite song of what's on the EP so far?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh. See, that's like asking someone to tell you which one's their favorite kid.
I know, but everybody
it
does
really
have
is.
One.
I don't know. I guess maybe different songs have different reasons that I'm proud of them, maybe.
I understand that, but there's one song that has to be hitting you. When you hear it currently, at current time, you're like, that is my jam. And that's the one I want to know.
I don't know. And I swear, you know what, that also kind of even changes depending on the day and my mood.
There you go.
And it's funny because after mixing and doing all of that, it's pretty rare you actually go back and listen to your own songs for a while. So, of course, the newest songs are Appellator and Surrender, and because those are fresher, I would maybe say that those are kind of, and Appellator actually is one that I'm very, very proud of, lyrically speaking.
Nice.
It's a huge subject matter, and I really wanted to address it, and it's heavy. It's totally about how the patriarchy in religion really, really affects women's self-esteem and power from the minute we're born. And that's what that song's about changing that belief and stuff. So that one was some heavy, heavy stuff that I wanted to address pretty bluntly and pretty, specifically, but without feeling preachy or, it was a difficult one to write in that sense. And without sounding like just an angry woman that hates men, too, because that's not the point at all either,
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It was definitely a fine line to walk with that song, and so I'm pretty proud of that one, lyrically speaking, I would say. But yeah.
Nice. All right. So, sorry I put you on the spot. Now, here's another direct question.
That's what interviews are for, right?
So here's another direct question, or another question. Can you tell me about the ticket? You said there's a good story behind it, so can you tell me?
Yes, so The Ticket, I wrote that song, the lyrics to that song, after I saw The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, nice.
Because the song is about wishing that there was something to wash me out from on the inside, because I felt so just sick and icky internally after seeing that movie. Even though it's brilliant, it was a well-done movie, I totally got that about it too. I still just felt just sick, right? Sick to my stomach a little bit for a few hours even after, and just kind of wishing I could forget seeing it, even almost a little bit. Like, I don't even need to know that happens in the world. So that's what The Ticket is about. You can't escape from the ticket you bought, is that chorus. So it's about the after effects of, some of those things that we see on TV or see in life that we sure wish we could unsee and, get rid of that yuckiness for a while. But
that is a great concept. Wow. Wow. Okay, so we're gonna play The Ticket now.
Let the water fall, let it fill your soul, feel it in things that are late.
All right. That was the ticket. So, Cammy, we're coming to an end. Best question of the night is, how can we get a hold of you and hear the music that you're talking about?
Well, we are on SoundCloud. You can just look us up under The Magical with a CK. And we are also at just themagical.com. We just made a brand new, pretty new website. So please go by and look at the website, and you can actually buy music there. Or on iTunes, any major online retailers, the music's all probably anywhere you want to find it. And then we also are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're there if you want to find us. So, but themagical.com is the website, and that can lead you everywhere else too.
Awesome.
If you need to go there. So.
Awesome. All right. So is there anything you would like to say before we get going?
I just want to say thanks, Ogre. It's been really, really nice talking to you.
It's
really
been
appreciate
awesome.
You having us on.
You're very welcome. Anything I can do to help you guys, you have been great. And thank you for being so patient with me and for being on the show. It's been awesome.
It was a joy to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a wonderful night, and keep in contact because we want to see how you guys do later on, okay?
We will do it. Thanks
awesome.
So much, sir.
Thank you. So that was Cammy from The Magical. Super awesome. What'd you guys think of the songs? It was pretty awesome. I really, really enjoyed that. The talk was great too, and I've been following the band since they signed up for the interview. It's been amazing. I really, really dig finding new music that is just different and good. It's really awesome to hear. Now, crazy, crazy story behind this is I don't know who Dirtbag is going to interview. My agreement with them does not dictate that I know those kind of things, and I kind of enjoy it because it's kind of like a who am I going to get to feature on my show kind of deal. And being that Cammy is a female front woman of Magical, it's really awesome that I'm able to actually have this next Dirtbag Block of Rock segment on my show. The reason being is because Dirtbag Smitty, being awesome like he is, got Christina Scabia from Lacuna Coil onto the Dirtbag Block of Rock. So right now, I'm going to play that interview, which also features a Lacuna Coil song from their new album, Delirium. This is the Dirtbag Block of Rock.
Welcome to the Dirtbag Block of Rock. I'm your host, Dirtbag Smitty. Really excited today, ladies and gentlemen. I never thought I'd have this opportunity, but here we are today with Miss Christina Scabia, front woman from the band Lacuna Coil. Christina, tell the listeners hello.
Hello, how are you guys? Thank you for having me here.
We're doing great. I'm super excited to be talking to you right now. So thank you for your time today. I know you guys are on the road right now, and we appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. It is a pleasure.
So let's get down to this. You guys started in 1994. That's 22 years ago. That's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, technically, we started in 98, and that's when the first EP came out, and we signed a deal with Century Media, which is our label, in 97. But we've been knowing each other and jamming since 94, so this is definitely correct.
Ah, that's awesome. So you guys are on your eighth record. You guys just dropped a record like a few days ago called Delirium.
Yeah. We are all convinced that this is the best record we've ever done. And I'm so happy because the feedback that we're getting from the fans is insane. Everybody's loving the record. Old school fans are finding a lot of reminiscences from the very first records of our career. The new fans are loving the model, the modern touch that we put in the record. Everybody's happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How have you guys manifested your sound over the years? This is your eighth studio record. What have you pulled from over the years? And because you have multiple, you have a pretty large group of people. What tools, different instrumentation, maybe have you recorded in different places?
The crazy thing of this record is that we have a lot of guests, including Miles Kennedy of Alter Bridge, who contributed for a soul in one of the songs. So it was an interesting record to
You've collaborated with Miles Kennedy before in Alter Bridge, right?
Yeah. I participated to the remake of their song Watch Over You.
Awesome.
And we did a duet on that song. But in this record, he's playing guitar because a lot of people don't know that beside being an amazing singer, he's also an incredible guitar player.
Yes.
So in December, I was in the States for vacation, and I sent him a Christmas message, you know, a Christmas greetings message. And I asked him if he wanted to be part of the record, and he said, yeah, I'd love to. And I was ecstatic.
Oh, it's amazing.
Such a big honor.
Well, hey, Christina, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're absolutely welcome. I'm glad we did it. Hello, everyone. This is Christina of Lacuna Coil. You're listening to Ghost in the Mist, taken from Delirium, and you're on Dirtbag Rock of Rock.
We'll not get our own muffins! Locked in rock and on escape! It's my
more music from Lacuna Coil and other Dirtbag endorsed artists, visit dirtbag.com. For the full interview, subscribe to our YouTube page at Dirtbag Clothing 1996. The Dirtbag Block of Rock is brought to you by Dirtbag Clothing, sponsored by Pair Booking.
And that was the Dirtbag Block of Rock featuring Christina Scabia from Lacuna Coil. Pretty awesome. Really nice to be able to feature that interview on this episode. Really good. Thank you, Dirtbag Smitty, for being that awesome. Now again, if you have any questions, concerns, comments, critiques, anything like that, all you have to do is contact me at facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, on Twitter at TLMRpodcast, on Instagram at thelocalmusicrevolution, and on Tumblr at tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. But to get all the inside information, all the most recent updates, you will be going to thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com. That's where all the information is. That's where you need to be. That right there is where you can sign up to be like a, you know, on a guest list and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. So again, that is thelocalmusicrevolution.wordpress.com. On next week's episode, we got Eternity Artist Management going to be on here talking about what they do and what they offer their musicians. I've actually worked with Eternity before, very early on in the podcast. That is actually why I had Ethan Walls as a guest on here, is because he was working, and I believe he is continuing to work with Eternity Artist Management, and that is a really good relationship. We get to talk to Nick, the founder of the artist management company, and we get to see what makes him tick and about his company. It's really, really good interview. You really should tune in, especially if you are a band looking for artist management. That is it for this week. Thank you guys very, very much for tuning in. As always, this is the Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Take care and be good, everyone.
The local music revolution.